the art and science of hacking our environment or modulating it to support our body is what biohacking is. Did you also know that this is a key element to becoming a radiant human? Through supporting our bodies to be as pure as possible, this is where deep eating radiance comes from, an inside out approach to reduce inflammation, oxidative stress, and allow you to have powerful energy and the best sleep ever. Check out my top biohacking picks, from supplements to EMF protective clothing to water purification, air purification, blue light blocking glasses, detox options, and much, much more. Head on over to theschoolofradiance.com and check out my biohacking page. Enjoy today's episode right here on the School of Radiance podcast. Hello and welcome to today's episode right here on the School of Radiance podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Varga, a humble human on a mission, here to help you achieve and receive the best hair, skin, and nails of your life. Using my background since 2011 as a double board certified aesthetic hair specialist and having performed over 20,000 rejuvenation procedures, I bring the best of many worlds, including the worlds of home care, in clinic, and also the research behind what truly can help slow aging, looking at some of my research on oxidative stress status and its impacts on the skin. In the School of Radiance podcast, we explore many things beyond just the superficial to help you glow from the inside out and become your most radiant version. Enjoy today's episode right here on the School of Radiance podcast. Welcome, welcome, welcome everyone to today's episode on the School of Radiance podcast. How are you all today? Today we are discussing how to stimulate hair growth and hair restoration tips with the hair restoration surgeon to the stars. He's actually done something for me too, Dr. Alan J. Bowman. Let me tell you a little bit about him. Dr. Alan Bowman, MD, is a hair transplant surgery specialist in Boca Raton, and he's actually super close to me. I don't know why we're doing this live, but we will be doing another one live when I go and get something done, actually in his clinic, and has over 28 years of experience in the medical field. He received his medical doctor degree from New York Medical College in Valhalla, New York, and had internship and residency training in surgery at Beth Israel Medical Center and Mount Sinai Medical Center in Manhattan before specializing in hair transplant surgery and the treatment of hair loss, including primary androgenic alopecia or hereditary male or female pattern hair loss. He's affiliated with Boca Raton Regional Hospital. Dr. Bowman came to national prominence in 2006 for his role in pioneering eyelash implants at the world's first International Society of Hair Restoration Surgery live surgery workshop for hair loss for eyelash transplantation in Torrance, California. Dr. Bowman has been credited with pioneering low-level laser frequency for hair loss, minimally invasive follicular unit extraction, hair transplants, PRP platelet-rich plasma, prostaglandin analogs for hair growth like Imatroplast, hair loss genetic tests, and live surgery webcasts. Bowman was the first hair transplant surgeon to demonstrate the few method of hair transplantation at the 2003 International Society of Hair Restoration Surgery Orlando Live Surgery Workshop, and developed the first commercially available instrument specifically for manual extraction of the few FUE grafts called the Bowman Mindex. In 2017, Bowman was voted number one top hair restoration surgeon and received the Crystal Diamond Award by Aesthetic Everything. In 2018, he was again voted number one hair restoration surgeon. In 2019, he received the number one top hair restoration physician award and was also listed amongst the top 100 aesthetic doctors in the Aesthetic Everything 2019 Aesthetic and Cosmetic Medicine Awards. Bowman was featured in 2018's Forbes article, 10 CEOs Transforming Healthcare in America. And his website is bowmanmedical.com. Link in the description, and be sure to check out his laser cap technology. Welcome, 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 Dr. Alan Bowman. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Rachel. It's so great to be with you.
It's a pleasure. I mean, we really should be doing this in person, but we'll connect again and we'll do another live stream.
Shame on you for not visiting the Bauman Medical Hair Hospital right in Boca Raton, right down the block from you.
I know.
In person.
I know. Next time. Okay. For everybody listening, the first time I came to Florida, I met Dr. Alan Bowman in person. We were both speaking at a biohacking conference in West Palm Beach. And I had a really beautiful encounter with Dr. Alan Bowman, truly a radiant man, doing great things, has a lot of passion. And we just really clicked. We got on really well. And so I just wanted to let everybody know that you have a very special place in my heart. So thank you for being who you are and doing the work that you do to help people have beautiful, more full hair. So speaking of radiance, I'm going to throw you a little bit of a curveball here.
Okay.
What I ask everybody on the show here, what does radiance mean to you?
Well, I think radiance has to do with not just how you look, but certainly how you feel. And so there's a certain, either whether it's a mental vibration or physical vibration that we all have. You know, my dad used to say, look sharp, feel sharp. I think it came from some old commercial back in the 1950s. But, you know, as humans, we're ingrained to want to take care of ourselves. I mean, unfortunately, as we age, it becomes harder to do so. And we have to work a little bit harder to keep our skin looking beautiful, as you know, but also our hair, but also our brains and our muscles and even just our energy level, you know. So I think when you're radiant, what that means is that you're looking good, but you're also exuding this vibration of health and vitality. And I certainly see that in my patients when we restore their hair. You know, it's not just about this hair follicle producing hair. It's how they hair, and it's not just about their hairstyle or the coverage of the scalp. They certainly don't need that to survive. But when someone who's lost their hair then regains their hair, it makes an immense change in, potentially in their personality and certainly their outlook on life. And so I've been blessed to be a hair restoration physician for over 25 years. And, you know, every single day, we're super excited to see those results in our patients and to find out how it changed their lives and so forth. But it takes me back to the original days when I first learned about hair restoration and plastic surgery in general, to see what a change you could make in someone's radiance, right?
Yes. And for all of those wondering if I still have extensions, no, I do not. I took them out for an MRI with as directed by a neurosurgeon. Gotta get an MRI, had it done, took the extensions out, realized I don't need them anymore. However, I'm still gonna come see Dr. Alan Bowman for some finessing in some certain areas. And Dr. Alan Bowman is the expert on hair restoration. So I have a couple of questions for you. Sure. What are the main causes of hair loss in both men and women?
Well, today we know, and especially what we see here in the clinic every single day, hair loss is primarily genetic, right? It comes from the mom's side or the dad's side. It's not just the mother's father, as you know, some old wives' tale told you. It can come from either side. So there's a genetic predisposition. But remember that the hair follicle is a very highly metabolic organ. It has the highest mitotic rate. That means the division rate of any cell in your body. So it's very responsive to changes in your lifestyle, your nutritional nutrient status, your fuel status, as well as other lifestyle factors like how much sleep you get, your toxin exposure, and so forth. How much, you know, everything from sleep to lifestyle, other lifestyle factors can certainly affect your hair. Even whole body inflammation, fighting off some kind of an infection today, like COVID and you name it, can certainly affect hair follicle function. So there's a lot of reasons why your hair might be thinning or shedding or receding and such. And that's why you need a diagnosis. So you have to visit a board certified hair restoration physician to try to get a handle on what's going on. Yeah, you might have a genetic tendency, but there may be other things going on in your life or your age or your hormone status and whatnot that could be affecting your hair as well.
Yeah, absolutely. In a recent research paper that I had published, oxidative stress status and its impacts on the skin, this is a huge part. It's how full is someone's toxic bucket? Okay, you could be pretty full and then you get a pathogen or other toxic exposure in air, water, lighting, electromagnetics, yeast, fungi, mold, heavy metals, you name it, parasites. And it can tip that bucket over. And some of the things that you'll see is redness to the skin, puffiness to the eyes, darkness to the eyes, hyperpigmentation, acne, accelerated aging, and hair loss.
Absolutely.
Hair loss is like one of the top searched things right now. And in my client care, I would say pretty much almost everyone is experiencing this to some degree, whether it's, stress, pathogen, oxidative stress status. There's contributing factors for sure. And, even things like thyroid dysfunction,
Oh, absolutely.
right?
Hormone imbalance is a critical factor, and that's why, for example, women might see hair loss around the time of childbirth. They might see it in perimenopause or menopause. If they do have a thyroid issue, obviously we're trying to diagnose and evaluate that. In fact, it's so common today, and about 50% of my patients are women, that we've added a functional medicine department to the practice. And so I have functional medicine practitioner here in the practice. His team, his group of three, I call them the three amigos, to take a look at these patients, because the hair follicle is like a canary in the coal mine. If you've got some kind of metabolic condition or poor circulation or inflammation, whatever's going on, and you've just listed off 100 things that could possibly be going wrong with someone's health status, very often hair loss is a first sign that that's what's going on. So what we see, like even with COVID, for example, if someone had a COVID infection, it seems to accelerate the natural progression of the hereditary male or female pattern hair loss. So what you would normally experience, let's say in 10 or 15 years, all of a sudden you see in 10 or 15 months, and that's not so good.
Yeah, the other layer here is a huge elephant in the room is electromagnetic wireless radiation. And one of the things I like about Florida, West Palm Beach, I went to an event. I was like, oh, how many cell towers are in a given area? A 3 mile radius in West Palm Beach when I last checked, which was last September, there were 700 cell phone towers compared to Beverly Hills, which has 2,100, three times the amount. So I found that Florida was, just a little bit more conducive for me. And then it also impacts blood flow. So exposure to, I hate to say this, your Bluetooth AirPod headset.
I know.
Oh gosh.
Oh, we know. Well, I don't try not to use them too often, but obviously for such a special podcast like yours, I want to make sure that your listeners can hear me and I can hear them. So that's
I'm
fine.
just giving you a hard time. But it's a
Yeah,
blood
no
flow thing,
worries.
right? And I would say about 25 to 30% of the listeners are men. And so there's information here for the ladies and the gents. So what I'd
Absolutely.
love to hear in particular, what are the main differences between male and female hair loss? Everybody wants to know this.
Oh, absolutely. So, when it comes to male hair loss, you can spot it from across the room. It's pretty easy to see the hairline is receding. Maybe he's developing a bald spot in the crown. It's pretty clear that something is changing, and he knows it. But maybe he's trying to hide it, comb it over, maybe wearing a hat more often. In women, it's a little bit more subtle. It's still, again, that hereditary process. We don't see as much hairline recession early on, although that can happen later. We typically see a diffuse hair loss in the frontal zone. So still, in both men and women, we see the hair around the sides and the back is relatively permanent. But they have the hair loss going on, and women have the hair loss going on in the front in a more diffuse pattern. So what would that manifest like? You could have some excessive shedding, a little bit less coverage, a widening part line, your ponytail is thinning out. But obviously in men, it's definitely going to be a little bit more obvious, the receding hairline, the balding in the crown area, with the preservation of the hair around the sides and the back of the scalp. And also how we treat hair loss is a little bit different. In women, we might dig a little bit deeper for those hormone imbalances, for those issues metabolically that could be affecting the hair follicle, because women's hair follicles seem to be a lot more sensitive to all of those things. Not to say that men are immune to those allostatic stress loads or lifestyle factors. It's just that we see it appear a little bit differently in men than in women. But it seems to be, as you mentioned, a lot of people are experiencing hair loss a lot more quickly these days than they were before. And I can certainly confirm that, being in the field for over 25 years. We're seeing certainly a younger patient population with more aggressive hair loss. So, is it the electromagnetic field of radiation that you're talking about? Is it the stress level of the modern society, our exposure to environmental toxins, lack of nutrients and fuel in our diet, and things like that? I don't know exactly, but the good news is that there's a lot we can do to diagnose and treat the problem and start to build those hair fibers better from the ground up, meaning improve the function of the hair follicle so that you get a better head of hair.
Yeah. Interestingly enough, women are actually, I found this in my research for my latest paper. Women are a little bit more sensitive. We also have cycles. So if there's a disturbance, our cycle is going to show it. I think that's probably why women are included in a lot of studies because we're a little bit more sensitive. So there's that. And yeah, if anyone would know that over the last couple of years there has been an uptick in hair loss, it's going to be you, right? You've been doing this for decades. And did you see a big change? Do you think it was like more stress? Do you think it was pathogen? Do you think it was all the above?
Well, I think it's really all of the above, and maybe also the fact that the word is getting out that there are things that we can do now in the early stages of hair loss that can have a huge impact over time. So just like medicine 2.0 is turning into 3.0, meaning that instead of just putting a Band-Aid on the situation, maybe we're going a little bit earlier to seek treatment and prevention. I think the same is true in the field of hair loss and hair restoration. I mean, look, 30 years ago, we didn't have all the tools in the toolbox. And certainly, maybe even just 25 years ago, we only had, two FDA-approved drugs. But today, there's so many more modalities, regenerative medicine, red light therapy that's FDA cleared for hair regrowth now with great science behind it. And the changes in even transplantation, totally different than the plugs and the strip harvests of the years gone by. We can really now recreate a totally 100% natural looking hairline using single follicle implantation. And of course, the transplanted hairs are permanent, relatively permanent. The other hairs are more sensitive, so we want to definitely protect those other hairs. But the good news is that when we combine all these things together, we can really keep people looking good for the long run. And I think that's the exciting part about being in the field.
Yeah, another cool thing that you have a history in, and since 2011, I've been involved in oculoplastic surgery and ophthalmology, is the eyelash hair loss transplantation situation. How popular is that as well?
Yeah, so I probably do more eyelash transplants than any other English-speaking surgeon in the world. I can't say for sure about the Asian continent, but there's definitely a lot of interest for long, luscious, living and growing eyelashes, as you can see from eyelash extensions, which has really exploded on the beauty scene. Since the mink eyelashes of, I don't know, was it Lady Gaga or Madonna? I can't even remember now. But eyelash transplantation takes hair follicles from the sides and the back of the scalp, and literally one at a time, we implant those into the eyelid under local anesthetic. It's a very comfortable process. It is permanent, and they do grow long. So eyelash transplants, just like eyebrow transplants, come with scissors, so that you can trim them and groom them over time. And of course, we have medications for eyelashes as well. People have heard about Latisse, which is a prostaglandin analog, vimetoprost. And latanoprost before that are very, very strong eyelash growth drugs that you can use. And some of that is also over the counter these days, too.
Yeah, it's just good to mention that because we can get hair loss on a couple of different places of the body, including the eyebrows. That can usually be indication of health stuff too. So yeah, the skin and the
Sure.
hair are, I would say, one of the first two things that you can see visually that stuff's going on
Oh.
internally, and you got to clean up your act and do something about it and reduce that oxidative stress status.
No, absolutely. Absolutely.
So, in regards to if anyone's going to know what the best treatment options available today are for hair loss, it's going to be you. So, I would love to hear from you. What are the best treatment options available today to stimulate more hair growth as well as hair restoration?
Well, once you've had an accurate diagnosis and evaluation, like what we do in the office with our microscopes, so we have AI-powered microscopes to do density evaluations, hair caliber evaluations, really science that's beyond, and technology what was beyond just a couple of years ago to really quantify exactly how much hair you have on your scalp. Once you know what's going on, if you have hair follicles that are, let's say, failing, weaker, wispier hair, prone to breakage, dull hair fibers, or hairs that are growing very, very short, then there's an opportunity there for non-invasive therapy. So we certainly want to take a look at all those lifestyle factors and try to make some changes, some tweaks if you can, to get on the right trajectory in terms of your overall health. And then let's look at nutrition and fuel, because we said before, hair follicles are highly metabolic. So the Bowman Wellness System for Hair is a group of nutritionals and nutraceuticals that we put together that kind of cover the basics when it comes to nutrition and fuel. for hair follicles, everything from multivitamins, which contain minerals, to amino acids and biotin and so forth. We also have collagen protein complex, which is proven now scientifically for hair improvements. And I'm sure you know skin. Things like probiotics to decrease overall inflammation and to improve that nutrient absorption from the gut. And even herbs that can deal with stress, like ashwagandha and so forth. And making sure that the scalp is healthy, right? So if you have inflammation, itching, flaking, oily, or some other condition that makes your scalp inflamed, we definitely want to take care of that. And that's where my certified trichologist comes into play. We can take a look at the scalp, apply what we call a scalp makeover, which is basically a scientific process that goes into the evaluation, the diagnosis, and then the treatment of whatever is ailing your scalp specifically. Because we got to get that scalp healthy if we're going to try to grow good hair. And then once we progress further, then we can look at pharmaceutical interventions. And so minoxidil, which was, you know, the OG, the original Rogaine, is now available not just topically for both men and women, but is an off-label treatment orally. So you could take a minoxidil capsule or tablet and get some pretty spectacular hair growth effects from that. Just you want to be careful in terms of dosing strategy. For men, we use finasteride. If not orally, then we can use it topically to avoid some of the adverse effects and still protect the hair follicles from those nasty androgens, DHT, which could potentially degrade the quality and the quantity of hair. We can also use non-chemical therapies, like you mentioned before, red light therapy, low-level laser light. And we have some great devices like the Turbo Laser Cap, which is a portable, at-home, five-minute treatment device that is amazingly powerful and has great coverage compared to most of the other devices that are out there on the market. In fact, it covers from the temples all the way through to the occipital zone. And patients can use that not only for healing after transplants, but for hair growth long-term. And then there's the regenerative medicine stuff too. So, I mean, you experienced the TED at the biohacking conference. We streamed your treatment live to the masses.
I was a model to like thousands of people. It was really
you were, yeah, tens of thousands actually tuned in to see the first applications of the TED broadcast live on the internet. And the TED is transepidermal delivery. For folks that don't know, it's the use of growth factors and peptides specifically through the skin without the use of a needle. So that's like very, very popular, right? No needles, no trauma, no drama, as we say. And then other therapies in the office like PRP, platelet-rich plasma, exosome therapy, PDO, polydioxinone. That's a huge laundry list of things that we can do to try to influence your existing hair follicles to be better. And, you know, what's right for you? Obviously, that's where the diagnosis and the consultation process comes into play. And that's why it takes about an hour here in the office or from your home or phone virtually to try to figure out what's going on at the level of the scalp and see what we can do to help.
Yeah, it was really great meeting you and your team. You have a lovely team of practitioners working alongside you. And honestly, when I look at the medical aesthetics, plastic surgery, dermatology world, and I talk about this in my paper, it's super important to include the functional side of things and take a look at that oxidative stress status. So you're doing it. And this is what I hope to see more of. And I teach a lot of practitioners behind the scenes, all that stuff. So the TED technology is really cool. Having had a chance to receive it, totally painless. There's no downtime with it too. So it's technology, essentially laser technology. And actually, I remember mentioning this to you that I have an at-home tool that uses sonophoresis to actually push peptides deeper into the skin, which is a similar type of technology. It's just for the skin. It's not for the hair. So if you have any questions about that, I actually do a demo with that tech in my advanced dermal rolling protocol in my skin camps, which is very exciting. In regards
to... When you do the dermal rolling, do you use, is it microneedling?
The dermal rolling is microneedling.
Yeah. And so we have those microneedles specifically for the scalp too, that we have created. So yeah, very, very common to use microneedling, whether it be in conjunction with PRP or as an at-home kit called the Preppy Suite that we have, that enables people to actually apply those really powerful growth factors and serums for hair regrowth. And there's a lot of good science behind that. I mean,
decades of research on microneedling for the scalp, for sure. Yeah. I hear you.
There's a boatload of research on that. And it's not new. It's been out there for over 10 years. Comparisons between minoxidil alone on the scalp, versus minoxidil plus microneedling, you can get a very, very powerful effect from adding microneedling. And so we have some very, very specific tools that we recommend for that, so that you don't hurt yourself essentially, or do more damage to the hair or scalp.
Yeah. Yeah, I, you know what, when I think about the scalp, I think about the scalp simply being an extension of your skin. And actually last March, I did a huge detox. I went super alkaline. I detoxed out yeast, fungi, parasites, mold, the gamut. And I started to notice massive shifts in my hair, skin, and nails. Tons of baby hair started coming in. My nails grow like weeds, which isn't great because I play guitar. And the detoxing is super key, but yes, I agree with you. The scalp care is so important. So once I started to look after my scalp like an extension of my hair, I started to notice that things were getting a lot better, less irritation. Dairy, sugar, gluten, and stress are definitely things that contribute to scalp irritation that I can experience, as well as what my clients say too. Absolutely. However, incorporating your technologies are super key, like the dermal rolling for the skin at home, and then doing things like microneedling for hair restoration with teams like yours that actually know what they're doing is the key part. Because I feel like a lot of people in clinic world with microneedling, they don't necessarily, there's going to be people that are better than others. So if you're considering doing anything hair growth stimulation wise, Dr. Alan Bowman is the guy to go to. There's no question.
Well, and also, you know, for those who are in the aesthetic industry, my trichologist does a lot of that teaching. My trichologist and my in-house esthetician, both beauty professionals, have been doing these training classes for professional microneedling of the scalp. So they go through all of that. In fact, they actually had a live webinar last night in conjunction with Candela, and it was attended by over 1,000 people. So pretty interesting in the beauty industry, but getting the right information, you know, when to microneedle and when not to, getting the right diagnosis, getting the right follow-ups, getting the right technique, the correct device obviously is critical. So a lot of interest in the beauty industry. And as you say, we used to say treat the scalp like skin because it is.
It's an extension of it for sure.
Yeah.
But what I'm getting at is to, when you're considering doing these things, is to actually go to people who really know what they're doing. Yeah. Because you can get a lazy laser technician or someone that does kind of like a half done, you know, hair restoration, microneedling thing. So there's definitely quality in practitioners out there. Hey?
I mean, that's true in any field. I mean, even hair transplantation, you know, I was just speaking to another professional who has a local doctor, a local nurse practitioner who brings in a team to do hair transplants just once a month. And so if you're doing hair transplants once a month, you're never, ever going to get the skill. You're never going to get your routine down to be able to take care of patients in an exceptional way. It's just impossible. You'll never get to the level of care of someone who's a full-time board certified physician. It's just impossible. You'll never jump up that learning curve. And so, you know, you just have to, you know, it's buyer beware out there. You know, the patients need to do their homework and, you know, not jump at the closest clinic for these kinds of treatments. It's just not that well known out there.
Or the best Groupon, right? Let's also talk about that.
Oh my God. Yeah, that's the last.
Yeah, the hair growth restoration gimmicks that I see all the time, you know, whether it's at-home laser technology, it's products, supplements, you know, one of the biggest quote-unquote hair supplement products is, you know, not doing so hot right now because of reformulation stuff and quality issues. So, you know, you want to do things that are backed by research and from clinics and practitioners that really specialize in this stuff,
for sure.
Bowman Institute. Okay. I'm really interested. You mentioned a couple of different tests, and before we started recording, you're like, oh, we should totally do this test on you. So tell us some of the tests that your staff do on your patients to give insights as to how long someone's hair could grow, what's going on with the hair, because the hair can tell us a lot about the internal situation of the body.
No, absolutely. And as we've mentioned, the hair follicle is a very strong barometer for your general health and wellness. And let's just call it toxic or allostatic load, the stress load on your body. So if the hair follicles are failing, we need to look at the scalp first and see exactly what's happening. Are the follicles just creating a weaker, wispier hair in the area? Are they shorter hairs? Or is there something happening at the level of the scalp, like inflammation, like a scarring type of alopecia that's shutting the hair follicle down? And so by looking with microscopes, loops, or a handheld microscope like the HairCam Pro is very, very helpful. And some of the new technologies today, like we have devices that we provide to our hair coaches that essentially you're able to take a picture of the scalp. It counts in a matter of minutes, actually. It can count the hairs and tell you the quality of those hairs. But also it sends that photo off to a laboratory, and it's that laboratory and with AI assistance, it actually gives a diagnosis of what is actually going on at the level of the scalp. So is there excessive inflammation? Is there scaling or flakes? Is it likely seborrheic dermatitis, or is it psoriasis, or is it some other type of scarring alopecia like implantable pilaris? And so these tools are almost like a kind of like a second opinion, or for someone who's not in an office, can actually do a photograph of a client's scalp, like if you're in a medi spa, and send it off, and they can get a good diagnosis of what's going on. But there's so many other tests. There's genetic testing to look at metabolic pathways that specifically impact hair and hair loss. And also that helps us design a personalized precision medicine type of treatment, meaning that we can gear our medical therapies specifically to those metabolic pathways, so that we get the best possible result in the least amount of time. So we're not like reiterating and watching how things are going. So those are tests that are like physical, right at the level of the scalp and such. But obviously, if we need to do blood work, we can do that. If it's cortisol testing, saliva and such, all those biomarkers are really, really important. If we need to track sleep, we can use an Oura ring. There's a lot of things that can go on when it comes to like looking at overall body health. But also the scalp analysis can be taken even further. We can look at sebum production. We can look at what's the pH level at the scalp. We can look at whether the scalp is dry. We can look at it under blue light for microorganism dysregulation in the microbiome of the scalp at the same time. So many different new toys that we have at the practice, essentially, to help diagnose what's going on. And also, most importantly, to track the progress. So these kinds of tests, it's not like a one and done thing. If we're taking a measurement of the back of your scalp versus the front, certainly we can see the difference in how the hair loss has occurred already. But then that measurement in the front becomes a baseline for therapies in the future. So if you start a treatment, and let's just say it's trying to get more sleep, start simple. Well, in 90 days, we can look right at that level of the scalp again and see if that change made any improvement in your hair growth, either your hair quantity or your hair quality. So it's a pretty rapid feedback for hair anyway. 90 days is a pretty quick feedback mechanism, because if you're waiting for hair to grow on its own, it really takes 6 to 12 months for you to see or feel the difference with the naked eye or without a tool like that. And so a hair check tool or hair cam or hair metrics, which is one of the other ones that we use, these are all really sophisticated ways to know what's working and what's not. And we just didn't have these tools years ago. It's like your Apple Watch or your phone tracking your steps. I mean, you had no idea years ago. You'd have to get a pedometer, right, to see like how many steps you were taking. But now you can look and know exactly what your levels of sleep were and sleep-wake cycles and things like that by just looking on your app on your phone. It's very cool.
So I'm just gonna say, one of the things I love about you, Dr. Alan Bowman, is that you're a biohacker. And honestly, this is a huge missing link in the plastic surgery, aesthetics industry, is the biohacking side of things. So I'm curious, when did you start to integrate the testing instead of guessing, as well as the functional side of things in your practice? Could you like remember a year or what prompted you to start to integrate these things?
Yeah, so I think there were like two questions there, but they used to just call us like health and wellness professionals, right? And now it's like biohacking because we have technology, and it's probably thanks to Dave Asprey because he coined the word from being in Silicon Valley. So of course he was a hacker, right? Software hacker. But when did we start to think about that holistically in the practice? I think it's not like a 180 where you just flip the light switch on and all of a sudden we have a holistic approach. It wasn't like that at all. In fact, my own personal journey towards health was certainly not a 180. It was small incremental changes over time. And I think for me personally, that's the only way it could have been done. There was no way I was going to make a complete change, in my lifestyle and nutrition status and, athletic activity, whatever it may be, physical fitness. I had to make small changes as I went along. And so, yeah, Bulletproof Coffee had something to do with it, back in 2016. But as my own health journey changed, what I realized also in my patients is that I started to ask more questions. I started to be more inquisitive as to, exactly what's their level of stress? How are they dealing with the stress? Are they experiencing more stress now than they were before? And then, what's going on with their dietary intake, their nutritional status? Are they allergic to things? Are they having trouble, metabolizing whatever food regimen they're on right now, the basic American diet, right? And then we started to look at other factors as well, in a holistic way. And so it just kind of added on piece by piece by piece. And I had thought, even before the pandemic, I wanted to add this functional medicine part of the practice. And so I was lucky enough to find Joe, and I brought him in to the practice. And he's been doing great with our patients. It's so amazing, not just to have another nurse practitioner, because now I have two, but to have somebody really taking a good close look at all the biomarkers and the lifestyle factors and everything else that we can do. Because once we start to alter those, we call that Bauman performance, by the way. Once we start to alter those small things, then everything starts to kind of fall into place and it becomes much easier to grow the hair. No question. So I don't know if that's, I can't pinpoint the time back in my career when it changed, but I guess I've always had a bit of a holistic approach, because even when I started the practice back in 1997, 1998, remember 1998 was the day or the year that finasteride became FDA approved for hair growth. And so that was really an oral medication that could really effectively stop the progression of hair loss in 90% of guys for the long term. And I became one of the first physicians to really adopt that into the practice. And I think it just has to do maybe with my upbringing. My dad's a dentist and he was always keen on preventative treatments in his dental practice, and still is after 55 years in practice. And so, I think it was always just ingrained that you're going to teach, you're not just going to put a Band-Aid on it, but you're going to teach your patients and your clients how to take care of themselves. And so I've always kind of done that.
Yeah, I think it's very clear that you are a leader in the aesthetic space, given your accolades and awards. And, people really look up to you, train a lot of other practitioners too. And so when I see, the future of rejuvenation and anti-aging, it is incorporating all these things, having those functional practitioners, doing the testing instead of guessing, to make sure you're actually also providing the patient with quantifiable information that they are getting improvements. So I love, love, love your approach. So back.
Sometimes it can sometimes work against you though. I mean, as we optimize health and wellness and, we're trying to optimize someone's, let's say body weight, lean muscle mass versus fat mass, those types of things, sometimes that can work against the hair. And so having both sides of the practice, someone looking at the hair, or even hormone optimization, obviously, because, hormones can trigger hair loss, the androgens especially. And so having kind of both sides working together, we can collaborate on how to move the patient through at their health journey while still protecting and enhancing their hair. And I think that's kind of one of the unique things that we bring to the industry in that regard. You can go down the block and get, hormone optimized with juiced up testosterone or whatever, but that practitioner is not so concerned about whether you keep your hair or not. And so that could be a very, very bad situation for men and also for postmenopausal women, perhaps, who need or want testosterone as well for all the great health benefits. They might see the side effects of accelerated hair loss. And so it's nice to be able to provide both of those, not just the hormone optimization and wellness and so forth, but also to protect the hair as we go along.
Yeah, it's so key. So I like this idea that you take in your practice where you're getting the diagnostics, you're getting the baseline, you're figuring out what you need to adjust. It's almost like this rejuvenation algorithm, right? From least invasive to most invasive.
100%, because that's what I would want for myself and my family. You know, you don't want to, you know, jump to the end of the road in terms of therapies and treatments. You want to start with the basics, because that's what's going to build the foundation. So even if you just think about, you know, this like concept that, you know, nutrition and hair care, you know, that kind of basic stuff that you need to take care of first. I mean, you never want to do surgery, a hair transplant on a scalp that's inflamed or, you know, just dysregulated. I mean, that's going to cause a lot of healing problems, hair growth problems, not just from the transplant itself, but from the existing hair. So you've got to rectify all of that as much as possible beforehand. And obviously that's an extreme case. You know, maybe not everybody needs a hair transplant. Certainly less people today need hair transplants than ever, because we're starting them so early on therapies and regimens that are improving their health and wellness.
Yeah, I love this approach. Same thing goes with skin rejuvenation, right? If you go and do injectables or laser on someone that has high oxidative stress status burden, they're not going to have a fast recovery, right? They'll probably have more redness and swelling, especially after like a fractionated type of laser rejuvenation, or, you know, issues after injectables statistically, right? If there's inflammation happening behind the scenes. So same thing goes with the hair transplant situation. But speaking of, you know, if someone is looking at going that next level, they're doing the biohacking, they're as healthy as they possibly can, how have hair transplants changed throughout the years? I'm really curious about this one.
Yeah, well, you know, after 2.5 decades, I can tell you they changed a lot. Way back when, you know, before even I got into the field, we were talking about plugs. Those were big punches of skin that were taken from the back of the scalp and implanted into the thinning or the balding areas. The Barbie doll hair, it is, you know, the Barbie season of Barbie. So I guess we could talk about Barbie doll hair. But obviously that wasn't so natural looking. And then the treatments that I was trained in back in the 1990s was called the strip harvesting. So, or follicular unit transplantation, where we took a strip and then dissected that into grafts before implantation. But today we do follicular unit extraction, and that's individual harvesting of grafts with instruments that are smaller than the diameter of a ballpoint pen tip. So very, very tiny, less than a millimeter instrument using microscopic magnification. So we have surgical telescopes that we use, loops, to look at the follicle, hair angle, orientation, and direction, to then extract those follicles or groups of follicles one at a time. So what that does is it basically eliminates an old telltale linear scar, and I'm sure you've seen them, and everybody has. Guys who have had old transplants, they shave their head, you see that old scar back there. It looks like a big smiley face. You know, there's none of that anymore. There's no prolonged downtime where you have to stay out of the gym for weeks on end or deal with stitches or the risk of a wound infection. Today, those areas that we harvest from heal within a matter of days. So within 4 to 6 days, it's completely healed. The grafts are implanted in a special way, artistically, using an artistic hairline design. And the angle, the orientation, the position of the grafts are critical to getting it to look natural and not, as we say, turkey transplanted. Meaning, you know, you don't want to end up with a straight across hairline with hair growing out like perpendicularly from the skin. There's artistry to this. And so creating something that's natural and artistic, that's what the technology enables us to do. But the technology enables us to move a lot of hair around in a relatively short period of time. So we can restore a hairline typically in a day or so. If we're talking about two separate zones, maybe it would take two procedures to do the job. My dad, who was totally bald, obviously he needed more than that. He needed about 8,000 grafts to get the job done over several sessions many years ago. But the technology has changed a lot. And then how we store the grafts while they're outside of the body, you know, they're in special solutions to improve the graft take rate, to keep them viable, just like an organ that's being, you know, transported across the country in a jet plane to a recipient, you know, from a donor. It's in a special solution. Well, we use those same kinds of high-tech solutions to store the grafts. And we use specialized regenerative medicine treatments and procedures to accelerate the body's natural recovery. And so I think Dave Asprey, probably he put together a whole movie on all how to biohack your healing from a surgery procedure. Although I think he did it on about his foot, not his hair. But I could tell you that the interesting thing is that you can certainly accelerate your body's healing ability. And so whether we use laser light therapy, or this nutritional modification, even things like NanoV with structured water, there's so many different things that we can do to make sure that your healing is on point before, during, and after the procedure, and things that we can apply, whether it's PRP or exosome therapy or the growth factors and peptides through TED, transepidermal delivery, sonophoresis. So many different things have changed, Rachel. It's been an amazing field, and I just can't wait to see what's going to be happening next year. You know, fun and exciting, you know.
The cool thing about South Florida is that this is the hub, right? When I was at the event where you were, it's like, I'm looking around the room. This is like the cowboys of the Botox days. Everyone's putting their heads together, looking at making products better, the protocols better. So yeah, it's that stuff is pretty popular down here in a lot of longevity clinics and aesthetic clinics.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, I think we're seeing more people obviously moving into the state, coming in from out of town, physicians moving in from other locations around the country, for whatever reasons, as you can imagine, to come to Florida. And the conferences are just amazing, whether it's, you know, Live Derm, South Beach Symposium.
They're all here now.
You know, these are all great events. And obviously, of course, the biohacking event that we were at, there's another biohacking event in Miami that's coming up this next month. So, you know, there's just a lot of action. And of course, the, you know, Dave's event was here in Orlando, next year, Dallas, but probably back in Florida after that. So a lot of interest in South Florida. It is a vital hub of rejuvenation. And, you know, maybe that's why Ponce de Leon decided to come and visit, you know, looking for that fountain of youth.
You know it. All right, Dr. Alan Bowman, I know you have an appointment after this, so I don't want to keep you. Do you have any closing words or just kind of like additional gems to share with our listeners for hair growth and hair restoration tips?
Yeah, I guess, you know, in kind of to conclude all of these different things that we talked about today, which, as you said, go from least invasive to more invasive. The most important thing is that if you're someone out there struggling with hair thinning or hair breakage, you're noticing more shedding in the shower or in your brush, your ponytail is shrinking, or you're seeing more of your forehead, meaning, you know, less of your hairline, you know, or more scalp shining through. The good news is that there's a lot that we can do to stop that progression. But the most important thing is to take early action. And so from wherever you are, as we mentioned before, about 50% of my patients come in from out of town, and usually their visit starts with a virtual consultation or an in-person consultation. So from the home, from your home or phone, you know, you can come to BaumanMedical.com and connect with us there. First of all, there's thousands of pages of information that I've written over the past 25 years. I think we've kept every single one. So you could search it up, information on hair loss and hair restoration there. But most importantly, you can connect with me and my team. Even if it's just with a hair loss question, you can always just go to BaumanMedical.com/ask and ask a question, and I'll get back to you either through my team or myself personally. I'll reach out. But it really starts with that early intervention. So get that evaluation either virtually or in person. Let's get some measurements going. Let's take a look at what you've been doing, either right or wrong. Let's tweak the regimen. You know, we'll give you a much better care than a cloud pharmacy, and a lot better care than your dermatologist who comes and throws a bottle of Rogaine at you and sends you on your way. We'll get you, you know, the appropriate 360-degree approach, holistic approach to hair restoration that you deserve, and we'll get you a great result.
Yes, and everybody, be sure to check out his laser cap technology. What's the correct name of your technology?
So the Bauman Turbo Laser Cap is an amazing tool. I worked very closely with Dr. Michael Rabin, the inventor of the original laser cap, which is the first head-worn portable device for hair regrowth to be FDA cleared, to reimagine that device as the Turbo. So the Turbo laser cap has over 300 diodes. It's completely portable. It packs flat. It's rechargeable. It's got a lifetime warranty. You can get the treatment in just 5 minutes a day. And of course, it's red light therapy, so there's no side effects. Now, we're not talking about incandescent light. This is laser light, so very powerful, but no sensation or feeling other than maybe a little warmth and blood flow coming through that area. But you're going to get some great hair growth. It's FDA cleared for hair regrowth, and that's important. And so it's a great device, Turbo Laser Cap, that you should check out. You can Google it. It's award-winning. Ask Men gave it the Hair Restoration Device of the Year Award a couple of years ago, and it's one of the few devices out there that has those kinds of accolades and awards associated with it, and some great testimonials as well. So our patients do very well with that device, not just for healing and recovery after hair transplants, because it covers the whole scalp, even into the donor area, but also for their hair growth long-term. It's actually their least expensive treatment over time. If you get a good device, you'll have it for many, many years, maybe decades. So it becomes one of your least costly hair restoration treatments or procedures in that arsenal, if you will, of hair regrowth.
Very cool. And everybody, you can access this technology in the show notes of this episode. The direct shopping link is there. Dr. Alan Bowman, it's been a pleasure to reconnect with you. I don't know why we didn't do this in person, but we'll connect again very soon. And everybody, be sure to follow Dr. Alan Bowman. He's really someone on the leading edge. I mean, I go to the conferences, you go to the conferences, we always see each other there. And so Dr. Alan Bowman is an example of someone who's really on the leading edge as a leader in the aesthetic space. Again, all his accolades speak volumes. So definitely you have some excellent resources for additional hair growth and hair restoration tips as well on your website, bowmanmedical.com. And I look forward to paying you a visit and keeping my hair long, luscious, and full. So thank you for your insights today.
All right, Rachel. Well, thank you so much for having me. Look forward to having you here at the practice, and certainly hopefully we can do a follow-up sometime soon.
Absolutely. And El Natri says, such helpful info. Thank you, Dr. Bowman and Rachel. My pleasure. For those of you interested in learning a little bit more about how we get the best hair, skin, and nails over life, slow cellular aging, all that stuff, head on over to theschoolofradiance.com. You can book a one-on-one session, shop some of my favorite products as well, and of course, listen to other episodes here of the show. All right, everybody, that is a wrap. We will see you again right here on the School of Radiance podcast. Be high vibe, be radiant, and here's to happier, fuller, healthier hair with the work and research and tech of Dr. Alan Bowman. And as a disclaimer, this is not medical advice, educational information only. If you think you have a medical condition, you must seek the guidance of a licensed physician. Have a great day, everybody.